It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
I enter the studio to Lance's drink stands on the table, so that's comforting. Just to know that things never really do change. Time passes, but some things will stay the same. And Lance being Pigpen will remain the same. He is the station's Pigpen, and he's doing nothing to change that. Okay, I would have started with this yesterday, but, you know, the Texans played. So you start with the Texans. But Sunday, driving back from the station, I was in the Webster area, and something great is being built in that area on Bay Area Boulevard. Sean, have you ever heard of Bojangles? Of course you have. You watched ACC football before, right? You've seen those Bojangles commercials?
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
Hey, by the way, sir, you left rings again from your coffee cup. No, you never won anything of importance. Not championship rings. Coffee cup rings.
Oh, yeah. I was coming in here to clean that.
No, you weren't. You weren't coming in here to clean it. That's my drink off camera. Don't nod your head like in annoying fashion like you know something. All right, that's Lance Erline. Pigpen.
He's too busy missing all those kicks on Monday Night Football.
He had to tweet about don't at me, yeah. And Greg Zuerlein spelled differently, so don't at me.
His cousin's looking for a job after that.
Well, maybe Davante Adams can kick too because he's a new Jet. And apparently he was in the facility, 20 minutes after the trade was announced, according to Diana Rossini. Davante Adams is in the facility. So, okay. He was standing by, waiting for that trade to become official.
Hanging out in New York, probably.
Yeah, walked for whatever reason. I know your team had a game in Vegas Sunday, but you couldn't play in it, so you made the trip to New York, and we're just waiting for the trade, and now Davante Adams
Times Square
is a Jet. If you did not know, that news broke about an hour or so ago. The Jets make a trade. It's for a conditional third that could become a second depending on play time. So Garrett Wilson, Davante Adams, Mike Williams, Alan Lazard, those are the pass catchers for Aaron Rodgers for the 2-4 Jets. But back to how this segment began, beyond Lance being Pigpen, Bojangles is being built in Webster. Bojangles is coming to Texas. It's generally a southern restaurant. If you don't know, it's a chicken place. It's like deeper south Chick-fil-A, I guess I would say. Everything's a little greasier. Everything's a little more crispy. Everything's a little more fried. And I was thrilled. Now, complicated name aside, if you know the history, you know the history. You can look it up. I'm not going to explain it to you. They do make a great spicy chicken biscuit, Sean. I was thrilled. I mean, I go to Chick-fil-A by default in protest. As far as the big brand, lot of franchise chicken places, Chick-fil-A is my go-to because Bojangles wasn't in the city, wasn't even in the state. But now that has changed.
Yeah, and not only that, it's in your neck of the woods.
I don't even have to drive really far away. I can pick one up on the way home from work anytime I want. I am a spicy chicken biscuit person. The other thing is the biscuit at Bojangles, a lot better than the biscuit at Chick-fil-A. The Chick-fil-A biscuit is hit or miss. The biscuit at Bojangles, always a hit. So I'm in. So beyond the Texans beating up on the Patriots, the good news for me, and really for all of you, if you've never had Bojangles before.
I mean, not really for me.
You don't need a chicken biscuit?
No. I mean, I'm not driving 45 minutes to get one.
It's one location. I'm sure they're going to have more in Texas. It can't be just Webster. But I saw the sign, and I know they're building over there, so I'm thrilled. I guess that Genghis Khan place has got to go, whatever they call that grill. it's a fine establishment, but it ain't Bojangles. So be on the lookout, everyone. If you like a really good chicken biscuit, Bojangles is a place for you. Ignore the name. That's what I do.
You know what? I'm going to take a principled stand against it.
Wait until I bring a chicken biscuit for
and
you.
And its name.
Wait until I bring one of those spicy chicken biscuits for you. Let's see how your moral fiber competes with the taste of that chicken.
There's one in Richmond, too.
See, I told you. They're going to be everywhere.
That much closer.
Yeah, it is. It is far.
Like, none of these are
I don't know close. If there's going to be one in the Galleria, but if there is, Sean, you won't be able to take a moral stand for long. Just saying.
Watch me.
Don't test me. You'll see. So, people, we talk about a lot of things here. TV, movies, obviously some sports as well. We don't talk a lot about food, but when you go there, if you've never been, you don't have to thank me personally, because mostly I don't want you to come up to me. But a tweet, sure, I'll take it. But there. If you've watched NC State versus Virginia like I have, at like 12 on a Saturday, whether it be the CW or the ACC network, you've seen one of these. You've seen them promote that fabulous restaurant with the complicated name, and now it's in the state of Texas, coming soon. Okay, what happened last night beyond my joy about thinking about Bojangles being in the state? The Bills played the Jets. The Bills get the win. I'm not sure there is a good team in the AFC East. The Bills may just win it by default. Watching them play and I guess play down to the Jets in a game that the Jets probably should have won if not for Greg Zuerlein, as Sean mentioned, and some of their red zone woes. I think the AFC East, as far as divisions, they're only helped by the fact that the AFC South is bad. And like real bad. Like two teams with one win bad. Other than that, whether it be the Dolphins because they don't have a quarterback and some of their issues stopping the run. We know the Patriots are terrible. We just saw them on Sunday. And then the Jets, who have already fired the coach. That's a division that if the Bills didn't get to play the AFC so much, they would probably finish with 8 or 9 wins. I don't think that Bills team is very good. Their defense steps up when they need to. We saw that in the red zone against the Jets. But that's a team that A lot falls on Josh Allen's shoulders. And while he has not thrown an interception this year, he still does dumb things. We saw he got away with not fumbling, at least losing a fumble in the red zone where he tried to do too much. And the Jets put some pressure on him outside the pocket. That ball found its way back to one of his offensive linemen. But he even mentioned, at least they talked about it on the broadcast, that during the lead up to the game, they sit down with the players, the stars. And he mentioned, yeah, I don't have any picks, but I probably should have 4 or 5. That's just the way he plays. But when he's on, he does some of the spectacular things that can change a game. And even a small thing like the final conversion that kind of put the game away, that was a play call that he pulled out of his backside. Like, the play was supposed to go to the right. He noticed that there was room to the left. So instead of pitching that ball to his running back, he just took off to the left and got a first down and ended the game. So that's the Josh Allen experience, the freelancing, the playmaking, and there's also, oof, that's Josh Allen throwing a ball into the hands of a DB. Whether they catch it or not, obviously, is may not be luck, but that's a flip the coin sometimes when it comes to defensive backs, the fumbling when there's no need to fumble. He is what he is, but it's good enough to get to 4-2. I don't know if there's maybe a worse spot to be in than if you're a Jets fan, because the team wants to give you hope. You want to believe. You have Aaron Rodgers, no matter how old he is. You see some of the throws he makes and think to yourself, we got a shot here. And then they do Jets things like Breece Hall. What are you doing not scoring on that play? And eventually the Jets don't score a touchdown. They wind up kicking a field goal, but you are 1-on-1 with Taylor Rapp. It's him and you between a touchdown that would have given you the lead. You can't make that guy miss 3 yards away from the end zone. And, of course, the Jets don't go on to score. It seems small, I guess, although I think Troy Aikman may even have mentioned it at the time that how did you not get in there? But come on, man. You're Breece Hall. It's Taylor Rapp. Go make a play. The the offensive line did everything for you. He didn't get touched until he met Taylor Rapp around the 3-yard line, and somehow he allowed Taylor Rapp to get him out of bounds. And that was their final real Jets chance to score a touchdown, and they go down. So 2-4, they are a game ahead of the Patriots. Dolphins are 2-3. The Bills at 4-2, game and a half up. So they're probably going to win that division going away, but mostly by default.
Yeah, we'll see when Tua gets healthy.
Oh yeah, I mentioned that yesterday, that McDaniel expects him back, and the reporting suggests he will be back at the soonest opportunity. So he cannot play in their next game against the Colts in Indy, but his next chance to play would be at home against the Cardinals. So sure, but they don't beat the Bills anyway. So Tua back or not, they don't win. So if you can't even beat the Bills, no matter how mediocre they may be, you're not winning that division.
Hey, he left that game early. Okay, we didn't know.
I'm not talking about the game where it was 31-10.
Yeah,
but when he left the game, I'm talking about.
We don't know. But he was driving.
It was early in the late in the third quarter. No, or early in the fourth quarter.
Driving.
It was early in the third quarter, I think, and it might have been 31-17 if he would have stayed on the field. But still, I don't think they're coming back 21 points down against the Bills. But they don't beat the Bills no matter what anyway. So that's the Bills' division. They'll win it. I just don't think they're very good. But I appreciate you trying to, I guess, add optimism to AFC East fans. Well, you never know. Maybe the Bills won't win it.
He was driving.
Yes, much like...
He got that fourth down.
Much like Davis Mills was driving when the Texans were down big to the Vikings. Yes, he was driving too.
Well, that was more for the total implication. That was an over-under.
If you were betting, yes. This one was for what? The cover? What are you talking?
Yeah, comeback.
Not a chance. I don't
ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
Well.
A college football champion.
Yes. An SEC champion. An NCAA, although they don't actually sanction that. A college football champion, yeah. A Sugar Bowl champion even. But no, not a chance. Not a chance. So we don't have those problems. The Texans are clearly the best team in their division. They don't have a team lurking. I mean, unless you think Joe Flacco is the AFC South version of Tua, I don't think the Texans are going to have to worry about it.
That might be something that works out in the Texans' favor, where Anthony Richardson gets healthy in time.
Well, he's back. He'll be playing
on
Sunday.
Yeah, gets healthy in time for when they play the Texans. Actually, maybe, I don't know, maybe it gets healthy and then unhealthy. There's still enough time for him to get hurt again before, and so maybe the Texans do end up seeing the Flacco-led Colts.
Well, the regular season version of Joe Flacco against the Texans, I don't like. The playoff version, that was fine. That was great watching him throw pick sixes. But the one who doesn't have any real pressure on him, that's the one I don't want to see.
No.
The one who will...
Nothing to lose.
Hey, Alec Pierce, jump ball.
Yeah.
You want to try this out, see what happens? Yeah, that one is dangerous.
Here we go. Michael Pittman, you're down there.
Yeah. these are the situations I want to avoid. Kamari Lassiter, we hope we'll be back at that point. But we saw some of the flaws in the Texans and how they cover guys, even against an outmatched Patriots team. Stingley getting beat was a surprise. Eric Murray getting beat, not so much. Jalen Petrie has his issues. He's obviously better in the box when he can be a run blitzer. But as far as putting him in coverage, not great. Not great. So we'll see if they find answers as the season goes along. But, yeah, the Colts will have Anthony Richardson out there on Sunday, which probably reduces their chances to win, which ain't great if you are a top five pick in the draft. Okay. We'll come back with some Texans news, because while they're getting DeNico Autry back, they're going to lose a defensive lineman. And it's not where he was doing some stuff to enhance his performance. He's getting one of those suspensions where it's like, oh, You were on some drugs. What drugs you were using, we don't know, but they're not the kind the NFL will accept. So we'll talk about that when we come back. We will hear some sound from Dan Orlovsky and Mina Kimes on CJ Stroud. The MVP case, is building for him. It's a wide open race, so why wouldn't CJ be a part of it? So some very complimentary words from the ESPN crew on the quarterback here in Houston. We'll talk about that when we get back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
Hey.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So Mario Edwards, Texas defensive tackle, 2 sacks on the year. He's going to have to wait 4 weeks, at least 4 more games, until he gets another one suspended for violating the substances abuse policy that the NFL has. Well, with Denico Autry coming back, that the pain of that absence is lessened, but still. So it wasn't just, hey, I want to be a better football player. This is a guy using some drugs. The NFL was like, actually, we'd appreciate it if our players didn't do that, so you got to go. I don't think we'll ever hear what it is unless Mario Edwards is like, yeah, cocaine. And I don't suspect he's going to offer that information. So whatever the drugs were, he's going to miss some times. I've never been a person who's used drugs, so I certainly don't understand the appeal. But I feel like even like embarrassment would keep me from using them. But that's why drugs are, you heard what Rick James said. I don't know if it's cocaine.
Yeah,
it's just the first drug that came to mind. I have no idea what it is.
Let's not get ourselves in trouble.
I'm not saying that's what it is. I don't know. But I would just think this is going to be a headline. I'm going to miss time. But I guess when you're doing drugs, you don't think about that. But that would just keep me from doing it. I don't want to be a person who is in the headlines for missing time because I violate the policy. But at the time, I guess you'd think I'm not going to get caught.
You're also thinking, wow, this is great. I'm having a great time at this party.
Are you saying drugs inhibit your ability to make great decisions?
Some do, sometimes.
Not all of them, but some of them do.
Yeah, I don't want to speak in generalities.
About drugs.
Yes.
But whatever the drug is, Edwards will be gone for 4 games. I blame it on going to Florida State, honestly. That was your first poor decision.
Timing worked out, though, with Denico Autry coming back.
Yeah, just, it's like, hey, right. One guy goes, another guy comes back.
See you in 4 weeks.
Appreciate your efforts.
Hopefully. Tim Settle. Stay clean.
And Heinisch, whatever you're up to. Kurt Heinisch, whatever you're up to, stop it. We're going to need you to play. So
slap that out of your hand.
it's been a good season, the 5-1 record, but not without some bumps. And Denico Autry, that came in the preseason, like, wow, okay. Didn't expect that. And he was one who like put a letter out. Didn't he put a statement out saying, I'm not sure what's going on, but I can tell you I've never. He was one of those guys, I think, who was intimating that whatever the problem was, it wasn't his fault.
Mm. Tainted Mexican beef.
That's one Duane Brown. I think he blamed like a pharmacy. I think we were joking about how he was taking issue with the pharmacy giving him the wrong thing, and that's what led to the violation. I don't know what Mario Edwards is going to blame. I think maybe he'll just quietly come back, not issue a statement, because how are you going to explain to people that you were on the wrong illicit drug?
Someone just handed me a cigarette. I thought it looked funny, but anyway.
I'm a guy who likes to try things.
Yeah, it was a little, you know.
Yeah, he can't.
It was a Columbus Day party.
I don't think he got popped from Monday.
I was just trying to think of a holiday recently.
Labor Day? Was it Labor Day he decided to have a good time? Whatever it is. It'll cost him 4 games and obviously 4 paychecks, and it'll hurt the Texans' depth. So we'll see if Kirk Heinisch is available to come back and play, because all of a sudden they're going to need him. And they will face the Packers without Mario Edwards. And D'Amico Ryan's talked about Jordan Love being the best quarterback. It's not there, Sean. Don't worry about it. I didn't pull it. Sean has a thing where I kind of set it up where he'll go to the sound, but we don't have that sound. I didn't grab it from this morning. But Jordan Love was called the best quarterback the Texans will face by D'Amico Ryans. And that would be news to Josh Allen. But Josh Allen did not play well in the game that the Texans saw him. So, yes, possibly Jordan Love will be the best quarterback they face, because it was hard to be worse than Josh Allen was in that game. I don't expect Jordan Love to put up that type of effort. So it'll be a tough challenge. The wide receivers are good. The quarterback is good. The play caller is good, too. I was talking about this morning with the morning show, John Lance. The comparison to how good offenses get their guys open compared to what the Jets do, it's a lot of high difficulty things. Now, particularly after the first couple drives. They looked good on the first drive. Things were easy. They were moving the football, running the ball. They scored 10 points on, I believe, their first two possessions. But or maybe it's two out of three. Maybe they got stopped once. But a lot of Aaron Rodgers having to be prime Aaron Rodgers for plays to be made. Beyond the Hail Mary, that is something that credit to the production crew because they had the three clips ready to go in the lead up to that, and then he completed his fourth Hail Mary for a touchdown. Alan Lazard, his good buddy, caught it. But he's throwing balls, tight windows, man-to-man coverage to Garrett Wilson, to Alan Lazard. Some of them are complete, some of them are not, and that's just part of the deal. When your guys aren't getting separation and plays aren't being drawn up to get them open, that happens. The Jets' offensive line didn't have a particularly good game either, but I don't think that will be an issue for Green Bay against the Texans. The Texans will surely get after Jordan Love quite a bit. At least they'll try to. But I'm actually more concerned about Matt LaFleur scheming things up and what he'll do to take advantage of some of the issues you might see for the Texans secondary as they are still trying to cope with the loss of Kamari Lassiter. But that's in the future. We'll talk about that as we get closer and closer to Sunday. On the other side, C.J. Stroud is having a good year. The numbers tell you he, at a minimum, is a top-five quarterback. And despite the turnovers going up, I think he's now up to five with the, when you include the pick and the fumble, something that he did a better job of last year, taking care of the football. Still a guy the national media is talking about as a potential MVP. Here's Mina Kimes and Dan Orlovsky on Monday Night Countdown, if that's what they call it. They're previewing the games, and they're talking about guys around the league. Here's the commentary on C.J. Stroud before yesterday's game.
Any conversation that has to be around the MVP 100% has to include C.J. Stroud. I'm telling everybody, what he is doing is overcoming and covering up a lot of deficiencies right now in their offensive unit. I do think, although they scored 41, Nico was missed.
Yeah.
Yes. But the positive is Stephon Diggs very much so stepped forward and made some big plays for this offense. I'm not saying he stepped into that one role, but if he has to play the run one role for a couple weeks, I think that you have a lot of confidence in doing that.
I just look so forward every week, Monday, to watching C.J. Stroud on
tape.
Look
at this throw.
More than any other quarterback. Because I'm just saying, you do not appreciate the level of difficulty you described until you see it on tape, until you see the tightness of windows, the pressure that he is under. He is making more special passes than any quarterback in the NFL this year.
A lot of love, and rightfully so. You can see it on Sundays. You don't even have to wait for the game film. What he's able to do, and in comparison to what you see around the league, not a lot of guys capable of doing what he does, managing pockets, the patience to understand pressure around him, but navigating that and getting the ball to guys. Just what a find, right? I don't know how many people were jonesing for C.J. Stroud before the draft process last year, and even deep into it, maybe still ruining the day that Lovie Smith won that game, but yeah, we know that. We know. The Texans, fortunate or not, no matter how you think it came about, the C.J. Stroud they're getting is not someone that was expected, which I think just makes it better. He was a good quarterback at Ohio State, and even beyond the concerns about the system and how Ohio State quarterbacks rarely ever succeed, if at all, in the NFL, he was a guy that people didn't think could be this good, particularly because what he's doing now, we only saw once, really, against Georgia. He was doing the off-script stuff, the ability to extend plays. That wasn't part of his bag until we saw it. And was that a flash in the pan? I think that was some of the conversation. Clearly not. I think that's his best trait. Beyond the quick decisions, the accuracy, his ability to make good things happen when chaos is around him. Not a lot of guys can do that. And he is one of the best at it, not just good at it, one of the best at it. So I think that praise will continue. Think about the MVP race. Who's in it right now? The guy we saw for the Bills last night. Patrick Mahomes by default. The numbers aren't there, but by default.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are top in the league, at least in the AFC. Sam Darnold, I don't think people are taking that seriously, but you can't just remove him from the equation yet. People are waiting for the fall off, and now the game in London wasn't great. And people are just waiting for Sam Darnold to return to what we expect of him. So when that happens, if it does, you'll kick him out of there. But
Derrick Henry.
Yep. Lamar Jackson playing really well. I don't buy into the split vote thing. One of those guys will take over and likely the quarterback will, unless Derrick Henry's going to go for like 2,100 yards or something like that. But it's generally going to be it'll generally default to the quarterback despite how good the running back is on the team.
It's just that right now Derrick Henry is on pace for, I think it's like 1,920 touchdowns.
If he gets to that point.
Not 1,900 yards and 20 touchdowns.
Not 1,920 touchdowns.
Yeah. That I just would, want to clean that up.
That would be a record, Sean. We appreciate
over 100 a game.
Yeah, man, he's not on pace for that. So, yeah, Derrick Henry will be someone that will be talked about until we realize we're just going to give this to a quarterback anyway, so let's make him the offensive MVP.
Yes.
Offensive player of the year, I guess is what it's called. And I'm trying to think of anyone else.
Well, he doesn't have to worry about splitting votes with Nico Collins anymore.
Yeah, Nico's out long enough that he may get – his numbers may not be enough, particularly if Derrick Henry goes the way he's going. And there isn't
– Could Purdy –
Are the 49ers going to be good enough? Probably.
Probably good enough.
But Purdy won't be respected.
As a
player, not as a man.
Okay.
Not as a man, but as a player. You want to clear that up too? Sure. I think he has.
Voters don't respect Brock Purdy.
As a quarterback.
Okay.
Because they likely think that's a Kyle Shanahan weapons joint, not a Brock Purdy thing. I'm sure they think he's a great man, or at least they can respect him as a man.
You know what? He gets to vote this year. I'm okay with Brock Purdy voting next month.
Great. I'm glad you've given him the permission
as a man
that he can vote.
Yeah.
Okay. Brock Purdy will take that and accept it.
I'm sure he appreciates it.
Yeah,
Someone should clip this and send it to him.
Motivation for him.
Yeah. No, I said I do respect him enough. I also respect him enough as a quarterback.
Yeah, but you said it in a way that suggests you don't respect him that much.
Or that's recent. Yeah.
Yeah. He's been a grown man for years now. Now you're just finally respecting him. I think he might take that as an insult. I don't know. I'm just assuming the human condition and all.
Did Jordan Love miss too much time to maybe?
He's only missed a couple games, right?
Yeah.
And they were undefeated in his absence. No, he hasn't missed enough. He hasn't missed too many games. If he goes on to play a total of 15 and his numbers are good, he would be there.
Okay. Because he does have good numbers when he plays. It's just he missed. At this point of the season, he missed like a third of the year. But luckily, he's going to play 10 more.
We think.
Yeah, unless he's fully Fatu Kasi takes care of him.
The interception, well, sure. Mario Edwards could have, but he's gone. The interception numbers are up, though. He's got 6 through 4 games. That's not a great number. So he's got to clean that up. But MVP race game on Sunday, we know the conversations about who are the best young quarterbacks in the league did center around Jordan Love and C.J. Stroud. They'll get to see each other on Sunday. We'll see how that plays out. This will be a fun one. We got some time to figure out who's going to be in, who's going to be out. We know Christian Harris won't be around. D'Amico Ryans was asked about his status, and he said he'd tell people when he was ready. He is not ready. Julian, I see you want to talk about MVP. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. Julian, I know this may center around the 49ers just because maybe you think Brock Purdy has a shot.
Remember who respected him on this show.
Particularly,
made it clear.
I had always respected him. Sean has recently come around to respecting him. So remember that. So we'll get to Julian and anyone else when we come back. But first, let's talk about some prize picks, I think. Right?
Yes, prize picks. I started talking. I thought my mic was on.
Okay.
Yes, prize picks. It's the most busy time of sports calendar and a way to watch all these games and to make a little money while you're doing it. Is to get on Prize Picks. I mean, on a day like today, normally a Tuesday, you're like, oh man, there's nothing on. Maybe some baseball. Well, there is baseball on. There's also a college football game on a Tuesday night. You got South Alabama and Troy. You got South Alabama running back Fluff Bothwell. Yes, Fluff. Like marshmallow, Fluff Bothwell with more than 65 and a half rushing yards. Take the more on that. They can't keep Fluff under 70. And then you got the Yankees and the Guardians continuing their series. Aaron Judge has not been good this postseason. Other postseasons too, but especially this postseason. Maybe you want to take some lesses on his total bases or his hits plus runs plus RBI. You can do all that on Prize Picks, and the busy sports calendar is only going to get more busy next week when the NBA tips off, and Prize Picks is going to be running a special Anthony Edwards free square, much like the Caleb Williams one in September. It's going to be Anthony Edwards more or less than half a point against the Lakers on opening night. So you have a week to get that in and to take advantage of that deal that Prize Picks is doing. All you have to do, download Prize Picks app, use promo code MIPS. You get $50 instantly when you play at least $5, and you get cooking from there. Prize Picks, run your game.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Julian, you have some thoughts on the MVP. What's up, Julian?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. So, obviously, I'm going to throw a little bit of Brock in there because, he doesn't get any respect. Last year, he threw for over 4,000 yards, 31 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, didn't get the comeback player of the year because he was coming back from that major surgery. So, on top of that, this year, young man is using his legs, looking like Brock Jackson out there. And he doesn't have his full Avengers out there with him this whole season. And he's still not getting any respect. So let's go over your candidates. Who would you say the masses would say are the top three? And then I'll go ahead and say why they have weapons too.
The masses would say, let's throw Lamar Jackson in there. I would say Josh Allen. And then likely C.J. Stroud and Patrick Mahomes by default because
okay.
Patrick Mahomes. That's four, though.
All right. So, Patrick, we can just cross him out. Let's just do that right now. His numbers don't support it. Yes, he's winning, but there's nothing that's saying, oh, my God, Patrick is having a great year.
He's
getting the wins. I understand.
And he's thrown
winning
six.
Is important.
I'll support you. He's thrown six interceptions, only has six touchdowns, but I will tell you that people say he's working with nothing. And they will use that in his favor. But I understand the numbers don't support him winning the MVP.
So Lamar, he's like Mike Trout to me. He's going to have those regular season numbers. He's always going to be up there in MVP voting. But when it matters, does it really matter? Like, is all that going to mean anything at the end of the year? Because let's be real, we know what he does in the playoffs.
But it's a regular season award.
Yes, I know he has Derrick Henry.
It's a regular season award. It has nothing to do with what you do in the playoffs.
Also, don't you think Derrick Henry and Lamar might take votes away from each other?
People say that, but I don't believe it when it comes to that. If the quarterback on the team is great in the season, and they will think to themselves, I'll just give Derrick Henry Offensive Player of the Year award. I don't think it will happen. I know it's a thought. But when it comes down to it, people will vote quarterback unless they're being a contrarian. But could it happen? Sure, I don't think so. Now you got to take apart CJ.
Josh Allen.
Okay, go ahead.
Josh Allen, yes. Josh Allen has a very good case. Dude hasn't thrown a pick all year, which did we have that on the bingo card? Because I don't think I did. I think Josh Allen's having a great year, and I love it because he doesn't have that prima donna y'all got right now. And I'm waiting for Dick to blow up on y'all, by the way. So Stroud has three number one receivers. Am I wrong?
Tank Dell's not a number one wide receiver. He is explosive, but he's not a number
one.
He's not
so
a number
last
one.
Year when Tank Dell was
I never said he was number one, but
every single week the guy was getting, 85 yards and presumably a touchdown type thing, making a big exciting play. And
that doesn't make you a number one receiver.
Nico has become a monster.
He is a number
Diggs,
one.
I mean, look, yeah, Nico is amazing. I'm happy that Nico has developed into this bona fide superstar, because when he came out, he got a lot of flack from y'all's fans, because he was that quote unquote high draft pick, wasn't doing anything, was more or less hurt, right? Like, let's be real. He was kind of hurt the first couple years. He missed some games.
He was playing with Davis Mills and other quarterbacks, so it wasn't so much he was hurt. He just had bad quarterback.
Okay, play. Now, I understand that. I'm not banging on him for that, but y'all's Houston Texans fans are banging on him, saying that he wasn't playing up to par or whatnot. So let's not act. Oh, and C.J. Stroud's in the same system. So is he a system quarterback?
So that leads you to why Brock should win the MVP. Why shouldn't Brock Purdy win the MVP then?
I did not say he should win it.
No, I'm saying, you gave reasons why.
And this is why.
No, hold on. You gave reasons why.
The reasons why.
Hold on, Julian. You gave reasons why. Julian, you gave reasons why everyone else shouldn't win. What are the reasons why Brock Purdy shouldn't win?
So for the first, we're in the sixth game now, right?
Yes.
We're 3-3. I understand that. If it wasn't for a couple of things, we might be 4-2, and it would look a lot different. But we can't play the yes game. Okay, I get it. No CMC, who was the 2023 Offensive Player of the Year. Can we agree he was the best running back in the league last year?
Sure, I'm not fighting that.
Okay, so can we also agree that he does a lot of things that maybe only Saquon in the whole league can do?
I didn't ask you for why he should win it. I asked you for why he shouldn't win it. What are the reasons why Brock Purdy should not win it?
Oh, my bad. Why Brock shouldn't win it? Brock shouldn't win it because...
look at you, struggling.
There are still some things that he does as far as he could have more interceptions. He does throw the ball in harm's way, a penalty here, a drop interception there. And while I did say we haven't had a lot of the superstars, the Avengers, we still have had some ballers on the field with him. Juwan Jennings is letting his nuts hang. George Kittle is having a great year. Brandon Ayuk, if Brandon Ayuk catches a few of these balls, the numbers look better. So the reasons why he shouldn't win are he's not winning. He doesn't have a record above 500. And he throws the ball in harm's way. And he still does have a nice complement of stars. Even though that line is not as good as everyone tries to make it seem, because he does scramble out. Oh, he holds the ball
too long. All right, that's enough. All right. Julian, appreciate you. Enough. I understand. You love yourself some Brock Purdy.
Guess what? Also, no Christian McCaffrey. They're way worse now.
And we are...
the guy who won Offensive Player of the Year last year.
Yeah, they're not as good without him. So maybe Brock Purdy shouldn't win the MVP. Six games in. It's a long way to go. Appreciate you. Just called in to make your case. Thank you. Brian, I see you. You want to talk some MVP stuff? We welcome it. We'll get to that when we come back. Yeah, I knew where that was going to devolve into eventually, but I let him get his takeoff. Whatever. And he didn't hit us with Drive Turkey. Now he saves that for the morning show.
He does it when he calls in, when I pick
up. Oh, to you?
Yeah.
He still gets it in. Okay. Doesn't affirm.
Audience of one.
Doesn't harm me, so I don't mind it. All right, anyone else? You're more than welcome. We have Misery Index in the second hour. It's a good weekend for it. A lot of reasons and a lot of teams can go on it. So we'll talk about that in the second hour. We welcome you as well. We'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Welcome back, and we are into MVP talk. Thanks to Dan Orlovsky and Mina Kimes. Played some sound, and it got Julian fired up about his guy. you have a guy, you want to get in, you're welcome. Let's go to Brian. He has some thoughts about the MVP. What's up, Brian?
What's up, guys? Hey, so I won't be long-winded like Julian and think I'm one of the co-hosts. But, man, so my obviously you can't mention it without Patrick Mahomes. That didn't really have the numbers, but, I mean, you got to throw him in there. So other than that, Josh Allen, I'm liking Jordan Love. He's the same guys y'all said. I think Derrick Henry and Lamar, like you said, Derrick's going to probably get offensive MVP. And I really think, even though Lamar be in the conversation, I think it's going to be fatigue with him. MVP fatigue, because, I mean, he's already got a couple, and I just, that's how people get. But the one person where y'all haven't mentioned, and because of Lamar, with his feet, you know, people, we like the guy that superstar, which puts up numbers running and throwing. So the one other person y'all haven't mentioned was Jaden Daniels. So I just want to throw him out there. I know the record might not be there, but I mean, really neither is Lamar's, but Jaden, if he keeps it up, I mean, he's putting up numbers and that flair and what people like when it comes down to MVP. You know, who's got the flair? Who would you want to watch? So I just want to throw that name out there.
Appreciate it, Brian. Thank you. The Jaden Daniels thing is interesting because how good can the Commanders be to keep him in the race? He has played well. The offense hit a speed bump, but they still scored 23 points against the Ravens. Can he win enough games to stick? And I do agree with the Lamar thing. The narratively, it isn't great to vote Lamar in again, unless his numbers are so much better than everyone else. You have no choice. But
you see this more in the NBA too.
It's true.
Where a guy wins MVP.
That's why Embiid won his, because Jokic. They were tired of voting for Jokic.
Yeah, or just, well, more specifically, it's actually Embiid as the example of, and Giannis back when Harden was winning MVPs. But when you win MVP before you do anything in the playoffs, and then after you win MVP, you just hit the same wall in the playoffs, and people are like, ugh, don't want to vote for this guy.
Yeah, like, there are multiple that like, get in the way for people, yeah.
Embiid could have a insane year. And there's going to be some MVP voters that are just like, come on. We know what Embiid's all about. We're not doing this.
Yeah, it happens.
The same thing when Giannis, before Giannis won his, when he was losing in the first round to Miami.
The year Jokic won his title, the thought, or at least the pushback, was what happens in the playoffs? He never wins the title. Although they had made some runs, particularly the bubble run, they surprised some people. But some of the talk was, well, is he just a regular season player? The Nuggets never come through, and eventually he won his. And it's funny that they flipped to the guy who never gets out of the second round as their choice instead of the guy like Jokic, because he couldn't confirm the MVP win with the title. He couldn't, I guess, stamp it. But they went with Embiid.
Yeah.
Because he was going to be successful.
Well, some of that is like when you get to your when we're getting ready to hand you your third in a row. Like the standards do raise, because the only other guy to win three in a row was Larry Bird.
Sure.
So
he was winning titles.
Yeah, and so it's a little bit of you become. If it was just his first MVP, he probably would have won. But just the fact he won so many, and goes into some of the fatigue stuff.
Victim of his own success.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason you have to go back to Larry Bird for the last guy to win three straight. Like, even Jordan, they're like, all right, enough.
Enough of you. Enough. You're the best player in the league all the time, but enough. And speaking of fatigue.
We can give this one to Malone.
Speaking of fatigue, Joel Embiid won't be playing back-to-backs anymore.
Yeah, I don't know why that's a story. It's like no bleep he's not going to play back-to-back.
He is telling the world he's tired of caring about – well, he's just tired. But he's tired of caring about individual stuff. And part of the reason he wanted his MVP was the lack of acknowledgement I think he felt for his game. And that's why he pushed himself through injuries, and it resulted in an even worse one. So Joel Embiid will stop playing back-to-backs, as the Sixers may have narrowly avoided a different type of injury scare when Paul George, the initial diagnosis is he hyperextended his knee last night. That didn't look great. Leg shouldn't have been that way. But right now it is being positioned as a hyperextension. We'll see after further evaluation. But the Sixers' season of hope could have got off to a disaster if not for some luck. So we'll see where Paul George is. Eric, I see you. I want to get to you. We'll get to you when we come back, if you're still here. Anyone else? 713-780-3776. We're going into hour two of the show. We'll get to the misery index from college football. We'll also talk about Jerry Jones. Sean put it perfectly a couple weeks ago now, where he wants Jerry Jones to hang around forever because Jerry won't stop giving us things like what he did today. So we'll talk about that at some point in the second hour. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.